This episode is proudly sponsored by my amazing patrons. For the multi-tier, a heartfelt thank you to Ted and C, St. Peaches, Earl B, Christina N, Bunkers, Carlos C, and our newest multi-patron, Ian. In the Tao tier, I extend a massive appreciation to Vitamin A, Jordan, Roman, Philip, Mona, Luna, Diwatahan, Brizo, and our latest Tao patron, Undead. Thank you all so much for your unwavering support. It truly means a lot to me. To you, my dear listeners, if you would like to support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/tabitabipod. For as little as $2 or $6, you can enjoy early access to episodes, exclusive content, and more. Once again, that's patreon.com/tabitabipod. See you there. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I am your host, Ethan. Hi, thanks for joining me today. Another week, another new episode. Hi and hello. I hope you enjoyed last week's Spooky Saturday about the UP Diliman spooky stories. Next week, we are going to visit another university. It's going to be the University of Santo Tomas. And if any of you have had any spooky encounters at UST, we want to hear all about it. Send your spooky stories to officialtabitabipod@gmail.com or hit us up on our Facebook. Your stories could be featured in next week's episode, so you can send them right in. Now, on to some personal news. I recently turned 30. Yes, I know. I didn't post anything about it. I didn't want to make a big deal out about it, but it's a milestone worth mentioning. I am now 30 years old. I started this podcast back when I was 25, and here we are now, still making more Philippine folklore content. It is a good reminder that it's never too late to pursue your passions. The journey will be long, and you don't exactly know where the road will take you. You will have doubts for sure, but the rewards make it all worthwhile, knowing that a lot of you guys enjoy my content, that you guys start looking at our folklore as well, trying to read some of the stories that we have here, keeping those stories alive. So for me, that's a win-win situation. So thank you all for your support. And here's to many more episodes filled with fascinating tales and more spooky stories. With that being said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Love. Love permeates various aspects of our lives. Familial love, friendship, and even affections for hobbies like video games or books. However, the kind of love shared with a life partner, one marked by intimacy and deep connection, is notably rare and precious. Discovering someone with whom you share such a profound bond prompts a desire to cherish them deeply. Yet, imagine if the foundation of your partner's affection was built on a sinister motive. To sustain themselves by feeding off your blood, essentially treating you as their personal blood bank to ensure their survival. In the Philippines, there is a creature that feeds on humans the same way vampires do, by drinking their blood. Because if you're not aware, we actually have our own versions of vampires, the Philippine vampires. The Hiligaynon people refer to their vampire as the Amalanhig, while the Isneg people know it as the Danag. However, our focus today centers on the Tagalog vampire known as the Mandurugo. The Mandurugo is an infamous figure in Filipino folklore, popular in Tagalog lore. In Mr. Edgar Summers' book, Mga Nilalang Nakagilas-Gilas, the Mandurugo is categorized as one of the Aswang. Similarly, in Mr. Maximo Ramos's renowned work, The Creatures of Philippine Lower Mythology, the Mandurugo is recognized as an aswang but with a more specific classification as a vampire. The word Mandurugo means the one who draws blood because, once again, the Mandurugo likes to drink the blood of humans. In folklore, the Mandurugu embodies a duality reminiscent of traditional vampire lore. By day, it assumes the guise of a captivating maiden, luring victims with its beauty and charm. However, as night falls, its true nature emerges, transforming into a fearsome beast. Under the cover of darkness, the Mandurugu takes flight, growing wings that enable it to perch atop the roofs of unsuspecting victims' homes. From this vantage point, it extends its long, thread-like tongue, adorned with a sharp tip capable of slicing through flesh with precision. Its target? The jugular veins of those unfortunate enough to fall within its grasp. So picture this. The Mandurugu, sneaky as can be, would wait for folks to doze off. Now back in the day, roofs were made of anahao, not concrete or anything fancy, which meant there were tiny slits or holes. Perfect peepholes for the Mandurugu, right? So there they'd be, perched on the roof, eyeing up their sleeping prey, who had no clue about the danger lurking above. And when the coast was clear, the Mandurugu would ease its thin, thread-like tongue through one of those roof slits, aiming straight for the veins to start sucking blood. And let me tell you that that tongue, their tongue, the Mandurugu's tongue, is very, very skinny. If you're not paying close attention, you'd never know you're under attack. Because once again, thread-like tongue, right? Now here's my question. Does the Mandurugu drink or suck on the blood of their victim until the victim's dead on the spot in that particular night? Or do they just drink until they're full and call it a night? And then come back for seconds, thirds, or more? Do you think that the Mandurugu keep coming back a night after night until their victim weakens and dies? Let me know. Now, while that's indeed one strategy for a Mandurugu to get food, to take flight into the night and hunt for a victim to feed on, there's more to their cunning ways. In Maximo D. Ramos's book, The Creatures of Philippine Lower Mythology, he suggests that the Mandurugu strategically targets young men for marriage, seeing it as an easy way to secure regular meals without drawing suspicion. One intriguing aspect of Mandurugu marrying a human is the alleged stories of Mandurugos who refrain from feeding on their husbands out of genuine love for them because, yes, apparently the Mandurugos can also fall in love and they don't want to hurt their partner, so therefore they go out and strike or eat or feed on other people. Because they want to preserve, they want to make sure that their husbands are alive and well until they die. So how do they satisfy their hunger if they spare their spouses? Well, like I said, they stick to their usual routine, and that's when they target people in the neighborhood nightly. So they would go out at night and feed on people. That's why I posed the question, if the Mandurugu kills or drains the blood of their victim on like one night alone, or do they come back to have seconds or thirds, you know? That's what I was thinking. So I can't determine whether or not they kill their victim immediately or they just kill them a little bit until they weaken and die. Because imagine if they started sucking the blood of their victims and the victims die immediately. It will definitely draw suspicion or raise suspicion among the neighborhood people. So I think, at least in my theory, maybe they feed on the neighborhood people or their victims on a nightly basis. Just a little sip of their blood until they're full, and then they come back again the next night and the next night until the victim dies. Now, contrary to the notion that married Mandurugos spare their husbands out of love, a famous tale contradicts this belief. And that's where The Girl with Many Loves enters, where the plot takes a different turn. Now, I found this in the book of Mr. Maximo Ramos, and I will read it, and it goes like this. The pretty 16-year-old Kalibo vampire in the tale The Girl of Many Loves married a husky youth, but in less than a year he had wasted away and died. The young widow married again, and in time, from a strong and healthy man, her second husband wasted away like the first. And the same fate befell the third husband. On his wedding night, her fourth husband was warned by a stranger. The fourth husband laid awake a long time after the lamp was out, and when he heard her soft, even breathing, he almost abandoned himself to sleep. In the hour between midnight and cockcrow, when darkness is heaviest, he felt an oppressive presence hovering over him and a sudden prick at the base of his throat. With a loud cry, he plunged a sharp-pointed knife into the bulk that he felt above him. There was a screech of pain and a flapping of enormous wings. And his bride was found dead next morning, near the house, with a deep knife wound in her breast. In that story, it becomes evident that the young lady is indeed a mandurugo who has been feeding on her first three husbands until they weaken and ultimately perish. Now, obviously, this would only happen if the mandurugo decided to marry a man so they could feed on them. Marrying a mandurugo could spell tragedy for any man, as you may have already known, as it often leads to a slow and agonizing death. Day by day, the husband gradually weakens until he withers away, succumbing to the draining effects of the mandurugo's insatiable thirst for blood. But how does this grim process unfold? While the tale A Girl of Many Loves leaves this detail to the imagination, Mr. Maximo Ramos sheds light on the chilling method in his books. According to Mr. Ramos, when the husband falls asleep, the mandurugo executes her lethal way. With her long needle-like tongue or thread-like tongue, she stealthily inserts it in her husband's mouth. Its sharp tip unseen as it punctures the delicate flesh inside. To an outside observer, it would seem like an intimate moment, a passionate kiss between a husband and wife. Little do they know, however, that the mandurugo is draining her husband's lifeblood, sustaining her own youthfulness with each stolen drop. This stealthy act not only ensures the mandurugo's survival, but also maintains her look, giving the impression of freshness and energy while allowing her spouse to rot in the darkness of her grip. Now, Western vampires, they usually bite the neck of their victims, while the mandurugo in our version, the Philippines version of a vampire, they either prick the neck or the jugular veins if they go to house, but if they have a husband, they would act as if they're going to kiss their husband and then insert their long needle-like tongue until it reaches their jugular veins, and then suck on their blood. Like I said, from an outsider's perspective, it would be like, oh, they're kissing, passionate kiss. A night of passion, but no. The mandurugo is actually draining her husband's blood, and the husband is none the wiser. Now, Ethan, I'm going to marry this beautiful girl. How will I know if she's a mandurugo or not? Unfortunately, there's no surefire way to determine in advance if your partner is a mandurugo. The only noticeable symptom a husband might experience is a gradual and unexplained weight loss, a subtle sign of the creature's nightly feedings. However, there's a lesson to be learned from the tale, The Girl with Many Loves. In that story, the husband took precautions by sleeping with a knife at hand. If you're fortunate enough, you might have a chance to defend yourself when the mandurugo strikes. That is, if you marry the mandurugo, obviously. With quick reflexes, you could potentially stab the creature in the heart, ultimately putting an end to its reign of terror. So, if you're a guy lucky enough to have a woman in your life, it's wise to sleep with caution. After all, she might be after your blood, not your heart. And that is it for today's episode. I do hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. Please don't be afraid of your wives. These are just tales. Who knows? Maybe. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or become a Patreon member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod, or you can always donate via GCash. The info will be posted in the description. Thank you so very much to you, my dear listeners, for being here and for listening. And to you, my dearest patrons, you're going to listen to this in advance. Thank you so very much for being here. Once again, this has been Ethan, and thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!